Maybe that'll be the case. We'll know next week. Thank you for being here today. I love Dale Adams. But about a month ago, Dale got his worksheet. And he looked down at it, and I was standing there with him. He said, "You know, I got to lead the closing prayer on the morning of the 31st. And I said, "Huh, isn't that something? I get to preach on the morning of the 31st. And he said, "What does that mean? Does that mean I need to get a short prayer ready?" But I still love Dale Adams. And he can pray as long as he wants to. I want to talk with you this morning about the nation of Judah. You know, the nation of Judah, they were seeking help from Egypt. They were deal-making against Assyria. But there was a problem. They were doing it without listening to Jehovah. So Jehovah sends one of his prophets a command. And that prophet was Isaiah. If you want to follow along in your Bible this morning, you can look in Isaiah chapter 30. We're going to read verses 8 through 11. But I want to center in on verse 10, and we'll look at that and observe a few things about that this morning. The people there, they didn't realize that their delivery or their blessing would be through Jehovah's grace and mercy and not because of Egypt's help. So I want to take you this morning right into the middle of the chapter. We're going to look here at where Jehovah speaks to Isaiah. And here's what he tells him. Verse 8, Isaiah chapter 30. "Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord." Now watch verse 10 really close. "Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things." But here's what I want to talk to you about. "Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way and turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." I want to speak to you about those few things this morning. Speak to us smooth things. Now, old Isaiah, he prophesied a long time ago. But if he were to show up today, wouldn't things in the situation that we have today be pretty much the same as they were back then? That amazes me, as when we look at the Old Testament and we look at things, and even in the New Testament, things that happen in Bible days, those people were just exactly like we are. Or you might say, we're exactly like they were. And we share a lot of the same things. And I said this before, even though they didn't have cell phones and big fine automobiles, we still share the same problems that they had. The situation's pretty much the same as it is today. People just do not want to hear what God has to say. Today, there are things that keep people from coming to hear the word of God. The fact is that in many places today, even on the brightest of Sundays and the most beautiful day that we could have, there are just not people flocking to hear the word of God. They just don't want to hear what God has to say to them. So I want us to break this verse, these passages down this morning, and we'll do a little bit of Bible study on them. And we want to look at it in three different ways. First of all, I want us to look at the call. Second of all, I want us to look at the charge that we have. And thirdly, I want us to look at the challenge that we'll have from this verse. The call, you see, is from the people. And we have the same call today. Speak to us smooth things. Now, the challenge is from God. Speak right things. That's the charge, I'm sorry. The challenge is, will we obey God rather than men? And then the lesson is going to be yours this morning. But the call that we see is the same as it is today. Speak to us smooth things. You know what smooth things are? They're things that flatter us, things that make us feel good, things that just, that's what we want to hear. It's human nature, isn't it, to want to hear smooth things? It's human nature to want to hear good things about yourself. It's human nature to want to hear, well done. It's human nature to want to hear, everything's going to be all right. You're doing the right thing. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. That's what we want to hear. Everybody wants to hear stuff like that. And it seems as though we tend to move in the direction of people that tell us what we want to hear. We elect politicians that tell us, don't we? A chicken in every pot. 40 acres and a mule. We'll make sure that you get health care for nothing. Read my lips. No new taxes. Right? We're not going to elect you if you tell us we're going to have to pay higher taxes. We're just not going to do it. We're not going to do it if it's going to be hard. We don't want to do it. Now, advertisers know that. And they tell us stuff like, look at SlimFast. Or something like that. And it says, 7 easy steps, easy ways to lose weight. Or something else we might say, 7 easy ways to improve your marriage or relationship. But what if they came out with something new? And it was called something else. And they said, you know what? We've got 7 gut-wrenching ways for you to lose weight. Or we've got 7 just extremely difficult ways to improve your marriage. Are you going to buy that? I'm not. I'm not going to buy it anyway. And neither is Brother Pope. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. We don't want that. We don't want that. We'll go buy some other product, and it's the same thing in religion. I want to ask you a question. If I were to ask you if you know who the name Joel Osteen was, would you know who that was? Would you? I see a couple of heads. If you don't, that's okay. But if I were to tell you about him, some of you know who I was talking about. And you know, the Joel Osteen gospel is getting thousands and thousands of people to come and listen to him every week, because that fella, he's never going to tell you anything you're doing. There's anything wrong with it. It doesn't matter what you do. And I've seen it. He was in Nashville about, I think it was in March. And you know, for the small, when you go to see him in one of these big arenas, I think it was Bridgestone Arena, for the small price of anywhere from, I believe it was $38 to $169, you could receive a ticket to listen to him. But I saw him interview him on News Channel 5. And they asked him some pretty pointed questions. They asked him some questions that I would want to ask him. And they said, you know, why do you not touch on certain subjects? And his responses were, well, I just don't believe that's what I need to be doing. He's not going to tell them what they need to hear. He's on TV every week, millions of people. There's over 30,000 people each weekend in attendance, in live attendance, all folks waiting for him to tell them that everything's going to be all right. What you're doing's okay. And many other speakers are that way, that same way too. But it's human nature to want to hear smooth things. It reminds me of the little old lady who had some work done by some contractors on her home. And they just took advantage of her. And so she calls the Better Business Bureau to report these scoundrels. And the people to the Better Business Bureau said, why didn't you call us first? And she said, well, I was pretty sure you'd tell me not to use them. Now, aren't we like that, though? We don't want to be told that what we're doing is not right. You know, we're kind of like that. We're just kind of that way. We just want to hear the good things. We want to hear that we're doing what's right. Now, if that's true that we want to hear that we're doing what's right and we want to hear smooth things, then it would also be true, the human nature, that we want to speak smooth things. Now, there's no human being, no normal, if there is a normal, there's no normal human being, and I know some of you are going to have somebody in your mind and say, well, I know a person like that, but there's no normal human being who wants to hurt another individual. There's no normal human being that wants to be the bearer of bad news. And I know you probably got a sister named Sally, and that's what she wants to do, but that's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the normal people that we know, the normal individuals, if there is such a thing. They do not want to do that. They don't want to be the bearer of bad news. One of the problems is that we just do not want confrontation, do we? We want to avoid confrontation at any means. Harry Truman was one time asked what advice he would give to teenagers. And here's how he responded. He said, well, I first of all ask them what they want to do. And then I advise them to do it. What kind of mentality is that? You could be a friend of all if you did that. But that's the kind of way it is. That's how we want it. Or is it? Is that really how we want it? You remember David? He messed up his son and he never once said, why are you doing this? Why are you acting this way? You remember Absalom killed his half-brother Amon? You remember that? What about Eli? You remember his house was judged forever because his son made themselves vile and he didn't restrain them? You remember that? Maybe he thought, well, you know, I'm not there very much. And you know, I'm away all the time and I better not say too much to them, you know. I don't want to be too hard on them. You know, maybe he said, you know, David, I've got a kingdom to run and I don't want to put any burdens on my sons. But you know, all that kind of thing has conspired against us and has crept into the church. You know, the nature to want to hear smooth things and the nature to want to speak smooth things has sort of reared its nasty head at us. And it's been doing that for years. It's conspired against us in the fact that we've lost some of our distinctiveness in preaching and teaching of God's Word, haven't we? You know, it used to be that you could go into a room and in about 5 minutes, if you were listening to a speaker and you had no idea who he was, in about 5 minutes, you would be able to determine, hey, I believe that man is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, just by the things he said, because of what he was talking about. Because that guy was going to speak on some distinctive things. He was going to mention the church and the distinctiveness of it. He was going to talk about the plan of salvation and the distinctiveness of that. He would talk about the word baptism. And he would talk about worship being not only in sincerity, but also in truth. And he would also talk about that we can't just worship God any old way we want to. So you could know, you see, by what he said, that if he was preaching the truth or telling the truth or not. But you know, in many congregations today, you could take the whole sermon, lock, stock, and barrel, you could package it up, you could give it to Joel Osteen, and everyone, and he could deliver that sermon, and everyone there would leave patting each other on the back, telling each other how great they were, and they would never hear what they really needed to hear. They would never hear if they were doing something wrong. They would never hear anybody say that. You know, in times past, our opponents, while they didn't agree with the things that we said, and didn't agree with the things that we believed, they respected us because we stood up for what we believed in. There was a famous atheist over in London many, many years ago. And he was going to hear a pretty big name gospel preacher one time. And one of his friends saw him rushing across the street to get there. And he said, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to hear that fellow preach. And his buddy said, why are you going to hear him? He said, you don't believe a thing he has to say. He said, no, but he does. He does. We need to want to hear the truth. And if it's not all the truth, it's not the truth. Let me say that again. If it's not all the truth, it's not the truth. But because of things like that, we've raised up a whole generation of people who will not tolerate the truth. They won't tolerate it. They can't stand it. You know, if you go some places in our country and preach on some things, you'll be run out of town. You know, I heard a story one time of a guy that came, and much like, you know, Brother Pope's coming. And we're going to see about if we can work with him. You know, are we going to make sure that what he's teaching is the truth? That's something we've got to do. But I heard of another guy who came to the great state of Kentucky one time, and the first sermon he preached to the church, that they had already hired him. He talked about the evils of tobacco. One of the deacons pulled him aside later after the service was over and said, man, you can't preach on that. Said, the members raised tobacco here. You can't preach on tobacco. He said, okay. So the next sermon, he preached on the evils of alcoholism. Another deacon pulled him aside and said, man, you can't preach on alcoholism. Said, you know, we work in the distilleries here. Said, a lot of the members work in the distilleries. You can't preach on that. He said, well, you know, thanks for the information. So the third sermon he preached was on gambling. Sure enough, another deacon met him at the back door and said, man, we're 20 miles from Lexington, Kentucky. Everybody in this church bets on the horses. You can't preach on gambling. Now, this man was just distraught. He didn't know what to do. So he calls a meeting of all the members and asks them a question. What can I preach on? You tell me. A hand went up and somebody answered and they said, why don't you preach on voodoo witch doctors? There can't be one within 15,000 miles of here. But we're like that, aren't we? Don't talk about what I'm doing. Talk about somebody else. That's the problem. You start preaching the truth and all of it, and you're going to have some problems. You start preaching on some problems that are going on in our congregations. Like you preach on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and you watch people, they'll get up and start walking out. They don't want to hear that. You start talking about the evils of dividing the church and denominating the Lord's church, and people are going to get up and walk out. They don't want to hear that. We've raised up a whole generation of people who cannot handle the truth. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. We can't tolerate the truth. Have we been on milk so long that we can't stand to tolerate it? Because, you know, we've lost in some places our distinctiveness, and because of the fact that some of our people won't tolerate sound doctrine anymore. And the results are that the congregations are full of worldliness. You know, there was a gospel preacher one time who used to go to the same congregation each and every year and held a gospel meeting in the summer. And he went there every year, year after year after year. And there were two boys that were two brothers there, and one year he baptized one of those boys. And he had talked to the other brother, and he said, no, I'm not going to be baptized. So the next year he worked on him again. He said, you know, why don't you follow in the good example of your brother and be baptized? He said, nope, I won't be baptized. I won't do it. And the preacher asked him, said, why not? And the boy said, well, my brother was baptized, but he didn't change. It didn't do him any good. He's no different than he was last year. Are we like that? You know, if we're honest, you know, are we very much different? Are the people in our congregations very much different than the people that we go to work with or that we go to school with each and every day? If someone were to see the two of us on the street, would they notice anything about how we carried ourselves or the things that we did or the ways that we acted that was any different from anybody in the world? Would we? Be honest. You got to be painfully honest with yourself. Would they? You see, all that stuff's doing a number on us. The fact that people want to hear smooth things, it's even crept into the church. But I want to call your attention to the charge that we have. Whether people want to hear them or not, we still have the charge from God to speak right things. God gave the prophets a charge to keep, and He also gives us, you know, we have lots of young men here who go out and preach in other locations, and that's a great thing. And we've lost several members that are working with other congregations, doing local works with them. And that's a tremendous thing, but they've been given a charge. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 and 3, it says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We still have that charge. When God called a prophet, He gave him that charge to speak right things. Old Isaiah, in chapter 6 of Isaiah, he saw the Lord. Listen to what it says in chapter 6 of Isaiah, verse 5. It says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. But he heard the voice of God on down in chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. The charge was clear. Who's going to speak our agenda? Who's going to speak my word in the middle of a wicked and perverse generation? And the Lord said, I want you, Isaiah. I want you to do it. You're the man. God called Jeremiah, and he said, Jeremiah said, but I'm but a youth. But God said, don't use that as an excuse. I'm going to give you my word and you're going to speak it. He called Ezekiel and he said, eat this scroll, eat this book. It'll be bitter going down, but sweet coming out. I want you to take my word, he said, and make your forehead hard because I'm going to send you to a hard-headed people. And this charge has been handed down through the centuries to us. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, this church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. Let me ask you something. Where are you going to find truth in the world today? Do you have an answer for that? If not, I'm fixing to give you a few. Where are you going to find truth? You going to go to the politicians? Is that a good answer? I saw somebody shake their head. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. You know, somebody said one time that a politician was someone who could sit on the fence and keep both ears to the ground. They're not going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. So where do we go for the truth? Do we go to the grocery store? You know, I was in Walmart the other day, and I walked up and down the aisles. And I was looking. And you know, I found joy in a little yellow bottle. And I walked down another aisle, and I found life in a cereal box. And then I walked down the bread aisle, and I found some wonder. But you know what? I kept walking. You know what I never found at Walmart? I never found the truth. Never did. Because you can't buy it at Walmart. You're going to go to the scientists? They'll surely tell us the truth. They know everything, don't they? The scientists? They're going to tell us the truth. They claim they have all the truth. But they lie to themselves. They know where this world came from. We did not descend from the slime. We descended from the sublime. But they think they have it all figured out. I know you probably heard this poem before, but they got it figured out. Here's how it happened. It said, I was a tadpole when I began to begin, and then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey sitting in a coconut tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. That's their plan, not mine. They got it figured out. They think they're so smart, but we know they're not. They profess to be wise, but the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, Psalm 14, verse 1. But Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You see, they can see it with their eyes, but they can't believe it with their heart. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know, it's not funny when God gives up. It's just not. It's a sad thing. But you see, the church, this church, is the pillar and ground of the truth. But you know, when people can come to the church of Jesus Christ and not get the truth, that's a sad day. That is a sad day. It's a sad world when a man can look for truth all over and come and hear a gospel sermon in a church of Christ and not hear a thing, not hear any conviction. It's a sad, sad thing. But what's happened? What happened to us? Well, I believe several things happen. You know, sometimes, and I want to tell you, and maybe I don't need to clarify this, but I'm not talking about that we have these problems. But we need to be careful and not have these problems. But sometimes in some of our congregations, we've sought popularity over principle. Popularity over principle. It used to be that you could go a lot of places, and wherever you went, and you found the name Church of Christ out on the front of the sign or out on the building, they would stand up for the truth no matter what. And yes, maybe that group may be small, and maybe they were on the wrong side of the railroad track in that particular town. But then what happened? What happened? They moved. They moved to the other side of town. And they got a big building, and they got more members. And a lot of them left the truth behind. They left the truth behind on the other side of the tracks. That's what happened. We've got to be cautious of that. We have to be. We have to preach and teach the things that we know that are the truth. Let's don't seek popularity over principle in any case. You know, I heard a story one time about a deacon. He was sitting by the preacher when the collection plate was being passed. And he elbowed the preacher and he said, "You know, we can't say any more silver and gold hath we none." And the preacher hung his head and he said, "Neither can we say rise up and walk." But you know, not only have we sought popularity over principle, we've sought the material over the spiritual. Our goal should be Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. It reads in Ephesians 4 and 3, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Endeavoring. That's hard work. Endeavoring. But in light of that, I've heard people say, "You know what? The congregation where I go, you know, we owe too much money to split. We owe too much money to split." What kind of talk is that? You know, let me tell you something. If we owe too much money to split from false doctrine and false teaching and wrong things, we owe too much money. We make all kinds of ends meet, but maybe there are ends that God didn't intend for us to make meet. You know, there are congregations all over this land that can't preach the truth and all of it because the preacher has to keep one eye on the congregation and the other eye on that little brown board in the back. And he knows that if he says something to offend Brother Big Bucks, that the elders might call him in and reprimand him and say, "You know what? You're going to have to tone it down just a little bit because you're offending Brother so-and-so. And he's a big giver." And that preacher will tone it down because he's afraid that he'll be looking for a job. And so he seeks the material over the spiritual. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Let's don't be forced to put the material in front of the spiritual. We have to get back to preaching it just as God would have us to do. Another thing that we sometimes have done, and I think, is that we've lost sight of the eternal and we focused on the temporary. The Bible teaches us in Colossians chapter 3, it says there in verse 2, Colossians 3 and verse 2, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." And I'm going to tell you something, that's just a hard thing to do. It's just a hard thing to do. It's sometimes just downright difficult not to keep our minds focused on things of this world. That's just hard. Maybe that's just me. But you know, we'd rather make a guy feel good for today rather than to set him free for eternity. Most people would rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. And so we just go along to get along. So let me give you the challenge for today. What are we going to do? What are we going to do here? Young men that go out in other places to preach at other congregations, what are you going to do? You going to preach the whole truth? Our elders, Johnny and David, what are y'all going to do? We know from past what you've been doing, and we want to support you in it. And we want to keep doing that. What about our deacons? What are we going to do? What about our members? What are we going to do? What about this new man? If he stands before us and tells us the whole truth, if Brother Pope stands before us and tells us some hard things that maybe we don't want to hear, maybe he talks about some sin that I have in my life and I don't want to hear that, am I going to say, "Man, he stinks"? I don't want to hear that. What am I going to do? Are we going to get mad, and is he going to be U-Haul's favorite man? Whether it's him or whoever it is. But we need to hold his feet to the fire too. We need to bring our Bible. We call it Bible study. We ask this back in our Bible class. If you didn't bring a Bible, repent and bring it the next week, because you need to bring a Bible to Bible study. And you need to see. And if you hear something, you think, "Man, I never heard anything like that before." Look in your Bible and see if it's the truth. The challenge is, will we obey God rather than men? It's never been easy to obey God that I can see in the Bible. It wasn't easy for Abel to offer a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. It wasn't easy for Noah to be good and upright in his generation when all those around him had a mind on evil continually. It wasn't easy for him to go against the grain. It wasn't easy for Abraham to leave his father and mother and his kinsmen and to go out into a land that God would show him. It wasn't easy for Joseph to turn his back on Potiphar's wife and say, "How could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for Moses to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It wasn't easy for Elijah to stand on top of Mount Carmel and say, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. It wasn't easy for Peter and John to say to the council, "You decide whether it be right in the sight of God and hearken unto you more than God." We cannot help but speak of the things we have seen and heard. We must obey God rather than men. It wasn't easy for John the Baptist to look at the Pharisees in the eyes and say, "O ye generation of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" It wasn't easy for Stephen to stand up and say, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And so is the case for us. It wasn't easy, but do you know what it was? Do you have any idea what it was? It was always right. It was always right. It was right for Abel to offer that sacrifice. It was right for Noah to stand up and save his family and himself by serving God. It was right for Abraham to follow God when everybody else probably thought he was crazy or a nut. It was right for Joseph to leave Potiphar's wife, even if it was to be put and cast into prison. It was right for Moses to lead those people out of the land of Egypt when he could have been the king of Egypt. It was right for Peter and John to suffer shame for the name and for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I say all that because that we have the challenge before us today. It's right for the church and for individual members of the church to stand against the evils and the wicked things that go on in this world. It's right. It always has been right, and it always will be right. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Reprove them. Also, we should speak right things concerning the future of the church. You know, if we don't stand up for what's right, the church as we know it might possibly fade away. May only fade away into non-existence. But what about the mission of the church? What about going into all the world and preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel to others? You know, some of our congregations have lost sight of that. You know, they're worried about everything else besides preaching and teaching the gospel to others. I know of one congregation who was so worried about, they were so worried about the germs that were in the congregation that the elders got up and read a statement and gave some instruction on how to use Germex. And I don't have anything against Germex. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with keeping germs out. But the sad thing about it is there were numerous members of that congregation, involved in sin, wallowing in it, neck deep. And my comment to that would be is, if they had only worried about their spiritual life as much as they worried about the germs, everything would be all right. It would have been all right. We've got a mission from God, and we've got to talk about that, and we've got to get back to that mission. It's right to speak of the things that mankind will have to face one day, that mankind will have to face God in judgment, and that he needs to be prepared for that. We have to speak about those things, whether people want to hear about it or not. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, we're almost through. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Verse 31 says, "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." People are going to have to give an account for that. And you know, I've seen Joel Osteen, and he's, if you know who he is, he's got this nice, pretty black hair. Man, I wish my hair looked like that. And you know, he's real thin too. I wish I was thin like that. And you know, he's got the prettiest set of teeth. I wish my teeth were white like that. And he's got just a slick suit. Man, I wish I had a suit like that. And you know what? I wish I could preach to 30,000 people every week. I wish I could preach the truth to them. Can you imagine the impact of that? Probably couldn't draw 30,000. But you know what? Maybe that's my own human nature. That's my own human nature. But you know what? I sure wouldn't want to be that guy on the day of judgment. When he's going to have to look Jesus in the eye and he'll have to hear the words of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 48 and 10, where it says, unless he changes his ways, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. And he'll have to hear these words, depart from me, I never knew you. And he's going to have to go to a devil's hell with thousands and millions of people who believed on his gospel. And if I were one of those people, I'd probably be trying to tear that pretty hair out for all eternity. But all men are going to have to face God. So what will we do? The world's going to say to us, speak to us smooth things. But we know that the challenge from God is to speak right things. Now the decision is up to us. What will we do? What will you do? It's time for you to make a decision about that. We haven't talked about the things that studied about this morning, the ways that you need to become a Christian. But if you've come to understand that, now would be a perfect time for that. If you thought about those things and you know what you understand and what you need to do, if you would make your way to the front, the water is prepared and we're ready to do that. But if you put on the name of Christ and you've fallen away and you've wanted to hear smooth things and you've just been like the world, you know what? You can come home. There's nobody here that's perfect. None of us are. If we said we were, we'd be lying. We're not. But we're on your side. But if you owe a duty to God or something in your life can be made right by responding to the Lord's invitation this morning, we'd ask for you to do that. Won't you walk to the front and put your hand in mine, and we'll be here to receive you. Won't you come? Think about that right now while we stand and while we sing.